Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I'm your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every Thursday, and we talk to you about business. And we have been doing this since the beginning of COVID, and we've had guests every week, and we've covered topics like finance, and we've covered leadership, and transforming your culture, transferable skills. We've dealt with your health, and we always have a very knowledgeable guest, and we interview them. We also open the line so you can ask questions and address some of your concerns with them. For those of you who would like to call, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And before we introduce our guest, I always have to let you know I never take this journey alone. I have my co-host with Lori. Let them know you are here.
Thank you, Ted. Hi, Lori Miller, LGC Interior Design, and I'm so excited to be here. And yes, our guests are fun and interesting, and they're helpful. So tonight's guest is Tammy Racanello, and you can correct me, Tammy, if I didn't pronounce it correctly. And Tammy's put self-care on your to-do list is very important, but she's also very experienced in nutrition, I'd say mostly wellness, and very knowledgeable with 13 professional credentials and certifications. So Tammy, if you can introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and where you're at.
Hey, Lori, hey, Ted. It's good to be here. I'm Tammy Racanello. You said my name perfectly. I do have 13 certifications in wellness and nutrition, from fitness, yoga, Pilates, wellness coaching. I have 2 chef certifications as a raw food chef and a culinary nutritionist. Different kinds of nutrition wellness. And it's just something that I started on my journey, and I just wanted to learn, so I just kept taking different certifications for my own knowledge and to be the best I could be and give the best information to my clients.
And that's what makes you so knowledgeable, is not just saying you have certifications. It's that you want to provide that information and take care of people.
Yes. Yeah. So I started on my journey at 40. I was in the hospital, and I realized that if I didn't start taking care of my health, I would not be around for my children. My sister passed at 45 from diabetes complications. My mom had a stroke at 52 and lived for 20 years and had an extremely poor quality of life. She had 3 different types of cancer during that time as well. And I just watched that. And, at 40, when I was in the hospital, that age was just too close to those ages. And I said, I really need to do something about this.
And you did.
And I did. And then I started helping other people on their journey so they didn't have to struggle and they can have their best quality of life.
So not only did you make a profession out of this, but you also have a store.
I do. So I have an online vitamin supplement store that I have some experience in the supplement industry, also as a food consultant in the food industry. And I decided that I was just going to open up a store as well online to help people and give them the best products that I could, find for them. And I'm always a big, because I'm a culinary nutritionist, it's always food first, get the nutrition from the food first. And of course, supplement where you need to after.
So the big picture package for every entrepreneur.
Yeah, definitely. This way I can, if I'm going to recommend supplements, I might as well send them to my store instead of sending them somewhere else.
How do you manage to juggle it all? because you've managed to integrate all the different pieces. So, like every entrepreneur, you know, we always feel spread thin or like, you know, we're kind of all over the place, but you manage to put everything into a nice little package. It's almost like
yeah.
a gift bag.
Right. So, it's really interesting. I do workshops also, and I was doing a workshop on visualization and setting goals. And it was for women, and I had the women, you know, do a visualization of what their day was like, their ideal day, what they would like their day to be. And we started all the way from breakfast through dinner and, you know, what it's like when you first wake up, you know, through the whole thing. And after we were done, one of the women said, you know, when you said lunch, I realized I haven't had lunch in months. Hmm. So the key is to be mindful of what's going on in your life, making sure, you know, it's really hard working from home now, that there's no boundaries. People can work from the time they get up to the time they go to sleep. So it's really up to us to set those boundaries. Nobody's going to do it for us. We have to set the time during the day. You can't go from one Zoom call to the other Zoom call. You need to take, even if it's 5 minutes, just to get up, stretch, walk around, give your eyes a rest from the screen. It's up to us to make that time and set those boundaries so we can take the time that we need to, schedule it in, you know, make it a habit of putting it on our calendar, blocking out time if we need to, so we can get the things that we need to done for self-care and to catch up on things that we need to take care of, so we're not constantly bombarded with, you know, schedule of, you know, work on top of work. And, you know, it's really affecting us, the Zoom calls, the constant, you know, with our eyes. We have eye strain, you know, we're sitting on our seats all the time, we're not getting enough movement into our day, and a lot of people are not going to the gym right now. So even, you know, it's really important, schedule that time, stretch, move, make sure we're eating properly, we're getting that good nutrition into our bodies. So important to fuel our bodies. If we're not fueling our bodies for focus and productivity, how can you be good at what you're doing in business? You can't eat junk food and eat food that's not going to make you feel good. And, you know, a lot of people are just going for the quick, whatever, great, quick and grab and, you know, eat at your desk. If you're going to, you know, plan, you know, do meal planning, you don't have time in the morning to eat, make yourself a smoothie, do overnight oats. There's so many options. There's many things you can do to get healthy nutrition into your day.
So when you're working with a client, how does that start? Like, take us through the process. I guess pretend Ted's a client.
Okay. So I would ask Ted first. I have intake forms that I have my clients fill out, and their nutrition forms and their lifestyle forms. So I want to know, as far as nutrition, when are you having breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Do you have any cravings for certain foods? When do you have those cravings? Are there foods that you love that you would never want to give up? Are there foods that you dislike, you want to go near them? So it's really, and then I want to know what appliances you have. You know, do you have a blender? Do you have a juicer, whatever it is? So I know, you know, when I'm planning or helping them plan, I know what they have in their kitchen and what's available to them. And then for the lifestyle, I want to know, like, what's the sleep quality like? Are you getting up in the morning and hitting that snooze continuously? Or do you get up with energy? When is your first cup of coffee? Is that the first thing you have in the morning? Because the caffeine could be affecting your adrenals and you don't even know it, you know. So I want to know if coffee is the first thing you have in the morning, and what happens when you don't have that coffee. Do you feel like you have a headache? Do you feel like sluggish for the rest of the day? So it's kind of a really complete questionnaire about lifestyle and the nutrition, just to get that background. And then I always ask my clients to keep a food diary for 3 days. And then this way I can go, because we tend to underestimate the food that we eat and overestimate the amount of exercise we get. So if you keep a food diary, you're able to see exactly, and then it helps me look and see, well, you think you're eating a lot of vegetables and getting, you know, a really good balanced diet, but you're really not. So all those things together help me get a baseline as to where, you know, you would be. and then we start from there.
And then you send them to your website, and they shop.
Right, if they need it, if they need it. I mean, yeah. You know, like I said, culinary, nutrition, we go for food first, and we fill in the gaps there, and then anything else that doesn't fit in, like maybe you need D supplement, maybe most of us do, especially now in the winter, but things like that, maybe vitamin C for your immune system, whatever it is. You know, I evaluate everybody individually, and then we move forward from there.
Very cool.
And just a quick question. If you were asking, if I were your client, you would ask me if I had any cravings for food. And just quickly, am I coming through clearly? I just want to double check. Or am I staticky?
Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last question.
Am I coming through clearly, I'm asking. Lori, am I coming through clearly or am I staticky?
I think you're better. Go ahead, Tammy.
I'm hearing a little staticky. I don't know.
I'm a little static?
Okay. Yeah.
So let me remove the static. I'll do that.
Reception issues.
Okay. Is this better?
Oh, my.
So if I'm your client, then you were saying you asked about cravings.
Or maybe not better.
No.
Not better.
Okay. It's
yeah,
worse.
Cut out a little bit.
Sorry, everyone. We're having technical issues.
Okay. So it could be my reception. Tell me if that's a little bit better.
Yes.
That's better? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Keep talking. We'll let you know.
Okay. So if I'm having cravings, Is that my body telling me something? Is that something people should take note of? So you said as part of your process, you would ask if I'm craving food. So is that, if I'm having cravings, is that an indication of malnutrition in some certain areas, or I'm not getting enough of something, or is it like I have a food addiction? Like what could that mean?
Yeah, so a food craving often means that there's probably something missing in our diets, because when I make people aware of it, I have a rule. It's called Strive for Five, and that's five vegetables at each meal, which is so easy to do. If you're going to have an omelet in the morning or whatever it is, or a stir fry, or even like in a smoothie, you just you can do, let's say, an omelet, you have broccoli, spinach, onion, peppers, and whatever. Give me another vegetable. Mushrooms. You can do that. Same thing. You could do toothpicks. You could do salads. You can do, there's so many things for lunches, stir fries. And I always say to people, because some people aren't willing to give up certain foods, like I'm not giving up my pizza, so make it healthier. Make yourself a salad with a slice of pizza. Throw some veggies on the pizza. And have as many vegetables as possible during the day, a wide variety. So if you're doing that, chances are after a week, my clients always tell me, wow, I have so much more energy and the cravings are gone. So generally that is because, you're missing nutrition. And sometimes a craving is just a craving and, hey, you really want that piece of chocolate or that cookie or
okay.
whatever it is, and that's okay.
Okay.
And then I tell my clients not to beat themselves over that food. Eat it. And eat it mindfully, enjoy it, and then move on. No guilt, no stress over it, and that's it, have it, enjoy it, and then get back on track.
So it sounds like one of the things you do is help people really listen to their bodies, because if your body is missing certain nutrients, it's in your best interest. And from what you just said, when they do have those nutrients in their body, they have a lot more energy. It sounds like that would make a big difference if you're working a lot.
Absolutely. But we often don't listen. If we eat a food that doesn't make us feel good, we tend to ignore it. We'll be like, wow, you really don't feel good. And we don't associate it with the food. But if we become more mindful and you start writing things down, keeping a food diary, which I recommend at least starting out with, you know, when you're changing your eating habits, just to see. And then you can say, wow, I really didn't feel so great today. What did I eat? And you can go back and look. It's not a judgment thing. It's a getting in tune with your body thing. And then you can start saying, wow. And then you're going to tune into, wow, you know what? I'm really craving beets. I don't know why I'm really craving beets, but I'm going to get beets. Or, you know, I'm really craving spinach. I'm going to have spinach. And you're going to start to learn to tune into those things. And you're going to be amazed how your body responds.
Very interesting. I want to even take a step back even further. So you have 13 certifications.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's a lucky number for you, 13, right? So,
yeah.
You know, you see people with two or three, four certifications is a lot. I mean, 13, like what? I'm going to take a wild guess is that you didn't wake up at 18 and say at 18 years old and say, oh, I want to get 13 different certifications. You said you really became committed to your health at age 40, which is commendable. That's a great story by itself that it's never too late, right? But
mm-hmm.
What made you get 13 certifications, and what does it allow you to do that most people can't? So what was sort of like the motivation? Was it to be an entrepreneur? I'd like to understand you, and I'd like our audience to understand if there's some entrepreneurial motivation behind it, or was it just the commitment to your own health or for others?
No, I'm a learner. Just how I'm wired. I have a science background. I was a biochem major. I went to school to be a lab technician. I was an EMT for many years, a medical assistant. So I have a background in the body and how it works. And I've always been fascinated by that. It's just like I always wanted to learn about things. When I did my personal training course, I did the cadaver anatomy because I wanted to see actually how those muscles went and where the connections were. And that's always been me. I'm a learner. It's like when I go into something, I'm all in. It's like I just want to keep learning more and more about it. And when I started on my journey and I was looking for information on nutrition, because I was a chubby kid, so an obese adult, I was not active all my life. It's just how I was. And I didn't know anything about this. So when I looked for information, having the science head that I, you know, that I do, I would ask somebody a question, ask somebody the same question and get a different answer. To me, facts are facts. And I didn't understand how this was possible. I didn't understand how it was possible. I would pick up a loaf of bread. It would say whole grain and there's no fiber in it. So I really started to question everything. And I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I want to learn from people. So I sought out the best people that I could learn from, and I took those programs, and that's how I started my journey. I was on my journey learning at the same time I was achieving my results. And because I was so interested in all this stuff, I just kept taking one certification after another just because I got into fitness. And you know what? I said, wow, I want to learn yoga and Pilates. And, you know, I got the opportunity when I was doing personal training, oh, you want to do a group fitness program? We'll send you to get trained for group fitness. I was like, sure. You know, the more, you know, so it was just a matter of just happened. You know, like I just said, wow, I like this course looks really interesting. I'm going to take it. And I, you know, and I just kept going. So that's how I have it. Yeah. And even so, I mean, last week I was on a 2-day conference. It was about, nutritional psychology, and it also talked about the gut biome, and it was really fascinating. It was like 2 days of, you know, finding out how, you know, nutrition really gets into, you know, and the effect of the brain and the omegas, and, you know, to me, that stuff fires me up. I love learning about the body.
So it sounds like you're not going to stop at 13. It sounds like there are a few more certification in the making. You just haven't gotten there yet.
Possibly. But, you know, I mean, I may not get any more certifications, but I'm always taking courses and learning whether I'm getting certifications or not.
Okay.
I'll go to lectures and I will continue, to pick up information.
Okay, perfect. So I heard you say something else. So you said you were chubby as a child, and then you continued that into adulthood. Is that still the case, or was that part of your motivation, being chubby? And so talk to us about that.
It wasn't so much the weight. It was about the realization. And I tried diets, many, many diets in my lifetime. And, you know, when it got to the point when I was in the hospital and I was scared that I was going to not be around for my kids or not be around for them the way that I wanted to be, like healthy and well, that was it. And I said, wow, that's my why. It's not about the weight. It's about getting healthy. So in the process of getting healthy, I lost 140 pounds. But that, my focus shift, my mindset.
Say that again. I think you just skipped right over that. How much weight did you lose?
140 pounds.
That's a lot of weight. And over what time period?
Yeah. It was
a
while. I mean, it was maybe a couple of years. It wasn't quick. I'll tell you that.
It wasn't overnight.
But that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. It was, I was in the process of really shifting everything in my life. What I was thinking, getting a positive mindset. My self-esteem was very poor. I did not like myself at all. And I would, I was the person who'd walk, I'd walk into a room and I would secretly hope that there'd be somebody bigger than me. That's how, and it's an awful thing to,
really?
Yeah, it's an awful thing to think, yeah. But that's how I felt. I was just, I just wanted to, nobody knew. I was always outwardly smiling and everything else. And I don't think anybody knew how depressed I really was and how much it affected me, but it did. It did. And, so it was a total mind shift that I went through, a change of thought patterns, really, realizing that, and then I can lose weight and still not be healthy. Most people don't realize that you can lose weight. And if you don't make any of the other changes, if you're still stressed out, not sleeping well, you're still not eating right, nutrient dense foods that are going to help your body, and you're not going to be healthy. So it's not, and it's not about goals. It's not about, reaching a goal weight and getting to that number on a scale that just makes me nuts. Like people say, oh, yeah, I reached goals. So what, now you're done? And then if you gain weight back, it just goes up on your diet and you'll lose the weight. That's not health. That's a completely different. So that's why I work with women on their body image and their how they have their relationship with their body and their relationship with food. Because the diet industry, hammers it into us. If we're not a certain size, we don't look a certain way, and that's
right.
Not health. That's not health.
So talk about that a bit. So you've addressed nutrition. You talked about moving your body, and I think there's some more you can say on that. We talked about your certifications. It sounds like you're saying something really important. And you didn't say these words, but I hear you talking about mental health or mindset, and you can eat the best food in the world, you can lose weight, even work out. It sounds like there's a however in there, which is if your mindset is not straight, the rest of it could go down the drain, or you just may not be as healthy as you think you are.
Right. Now, when I took the weight off, I would go shopping for clothes and I would look at something on the rack and I'm like, this will never fit me. And I'd go into the dressing room and try it on. It would fit. And I'm saying, they must have mismarked the size.
Wow.
It took me a long time to realize and associate that I lost the weight. But it wasn't like, I lost the weight and now I can get that size. It was the way I was viewing myself because I still was not happy with who I was. Even though I lost the weight, so I had to, because it wasn't about the weight, it was about I guess, of being healthy and changing everything. So I really had to flip that, what I was thinking and how I was thinking about myself, my body image. And once I did that, I fully accepted myself. I couldn't even look in the mirror. When I first started working out at the gym, I was like, I couldn't even, you know, look in the mirror. I just didn't want to see myself. I didn't want to see my body. I didn't want to see anything. I was ashamed. I felt, you know, but I knew it was something I had to do. In the back of my head, that was my why. And I knew if I didn't do this, I wasn't going to be around for my kids. So it was basically kicking and screaming kind of thing, because I probably would not have changed my lifestyle. Well, I can't say that, but at the time it wasn't in my, you know, rearview mirror to say, oh, okay, I'm going to change my lifestyle. But because of that age, and it was so close to that, that's what, you know, kicked me in gear. So every time I said, well, I'm unhappy, I'm going to give up, I was like, no, you can't. You have to be around for your kids. So what I did was I needed to move. I needed to be healthy. So I started to enroll myself in charity runs, still charity walks. I didn't run for a while, but I eventually did a charity run. But I started to walk, and I would just sign up. Yeah, every charity walk I could find, 5Ks, whatever it was. And I would just go, because I knew if I made a commitment to do something, I was going to carry through with it, not for myself, because I was doing it for the charity. So I kept, that's how I started. That's how I started getting movement into my life, was doing it that way. And then I eventually did a half marathon, which was a pretty interesting experience. Yeah. And I won't do that again because I have, it turned out I have injuries in my back, and I was actually in physical therapy the week before the run. And I had actually signed up for one run. My mom had wound up in the hospital for one of her cancers, and I had to, you know, postpone that run and schedule another one. It was through the leukemia lymphoma foundation. So I rescheduled the run, and, you know, a week before I was supposed to do it, they said, you shouldn't be doing this. I said, listen, I've been training for this run for like a year and a half because this is my new schedule. I said, if I have to crawl across the finish line. So I was actually, the run was in San Diego. So I flew to San Diego. I did it. I just paced myself and I ran. And then when I got over the finish line, I was like, wow, I'm done. I was like, it was a great experience, because I knew that I didn't think I could do. I wasn't sure I could do it. And then when I experienced it, I was like, wow, it's pretty cool. I did it. And now I'm not running anymore, but I still exercise and still walk. But the running is not good for my back injury. You know, I don't want to wind up in physical therapy again. I need to, I'm in this for the long haul. So if you'd be healthy and moving for a very long time, I plan on going to at least 99. So that's nice. But, okay.
Well, I just want to ask you. I want to ask you a question. So, you said something really important, and I think people need to hear this. So, and maybe you answered a question that many people may have, which is, I've heard jokes where someone says, "Hey, I lost 50 pounds," and people are like, "Wow." They're like, "Yeah, I lost 10 pounds, gained it back, lost it again. I did that 5 times. So that's how that's how it was 50 pounds. I lost 10 pounds 5 times, except I'm unable to keep the 10 pounds off. I lose it, gain it back." So, you know, if someone's looking to lose the kind of weight you lost, 140 pounds, it sounds like one of the biggest challenges is not just that the person loses the weight, because a lot of people gain it back, you know, whether it's 10 pounds or 50 pounds or 100 pounds, they gain it back. And it sounds like you're saying the way you see yourself in the mirror, everything to do with where your weight stabilizes. So you said something like you picked up the dress off the rack and said you could never fit it, tried it on, and you could fit it. So it was like you couldn't see yourself as that body type to be able to fit it, even though you were able to. And that was sort of the mountain to climb. So, you know, people look at, wow, I have to do all this physical work to drop weight, and then I have to change my diet. Those are two mountains on their own. And then the last mountain, which will determine whether you keep the weight off or keep the body you want, has everything to do with your mindset and how you see yourself. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Also, how you lose the weight. You know, a lot of we like the quick fix. We like things that work, you know, fast. And a lot of people go for that quick fix. So if you're going for that quick fix, the problem with that is that you have to keep going on that quick fix to keep the weight off. Or, because it's going to come back. Very few people are able to do that when they go for the quick fix because life happens. There are things that are going to happen in life. You wake up one day, you have a schedule to do things, and all of a sudden something changes. And you have to deal with that. And so often, if your mindset is not there, you're going to let that derail you, and you're not getting back on. So it's very important to set that mindset. What are your goals? What's your why, which is the biggest thing? And typically losing, 10, 20 pounds is not a why. It's a goal, but it's not strong enough to keep you motivated and going. You need to find something better. And I find that a lot with my clients. If they're kind of like, I have an event coming up, or, I want to lose 10 pounds, or I really want to, look good for the summer. That's not a why, because you're going to look good for the summer, and then what happens after summer, happens.
Right.
So it's like you really need to make this your mindset, your shift. And if you really, secure about keeping your weight off. I know that I was a sugar addict, so I did not have if I had a box of cereal, I was eating a box of cereal. If I had a half gallon of ice cream, I was eating a half gallon of ice cream.
You're saying in one sitting you would eat a half gallon of ice cream?
Oh, yeah. No question. It would be over the course of a night. It wouldn't be like all of a sudden at once. But you know what? I'd be like, oh, no, I'm going to put it back. And I'm like, that was really good. I'm going to take it out again. So I had to shift how I was eating. And that was a huge thing. And that was always going to be an issue for me, that sugar addiction, that sugar not having that portion control. So I had to make those changes, and when I was going through my shift, now I can have, if I really want a piece of chocolate, I'll have chocolate, or I'll have a dessert, and I realize that I don't have to eat the whole thing. I can just have a little bit. If you get really great quality dark chocolate, and you take your time eating it and really savor it, same thing with a really great, am I going to eat spaghetti out of a box? No. Am I going to eat maybe freshly made pasta? Sure. I'll do that. Or, whatever. My thing is, it has to be worthy of me to eat it. I'm not going to eat a cookie out of a box. But I'll eat, if somebody makes a homemade, whatever. Or, if I have this, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to say no to it. I'm going to just eat it, savor it, enjoy it, and realize, hey, I don't have to have that whole piece of cake anymore. I don't have to have one ice cream. I'll have a little bit. I'm vegan. I really don't. I don't eat dairy. So I do the non-dairy stuff. But even so, you can have very decadent desserts, or they still have the pints of ice cream. And I realize I don't have to eat that. I can have a little bit and be satisfied. So it's all about how you're looking at things. Again, it comes back to mindset. It's all what What are we thinking about? What's our goal? I really love to ask that question, especially with women. I just say, is always look at your food and you say, is this worthy of me? Because
right.
The food you put in your mouth into your body, it should be totally amazing because you're an amazing person, right? So if you're consider yourself amazing. Consider anything that goes into your body should be amazing. And if it's chocolate or cake, you make it the best chocolate or cake or whatever it is, the best, not like chemicals and garbage and, artificial sweeteners or whatever it is, not processed stuff, but real ingredients, things that taste so good and you can have them and enjoy them. And then, like I said, move on.
I've had vegan cake before. So are with your certifications in culinary arts, I'll assume that you, from time to time, you're a baker and you make your own sweets from scratch. Is that correct?
I do. And I guess if I have a craving, like I feel like I'm going to want to have cookies, like I made oatmeal cookies the other night. And I use, I don't use processed sugar. I'll use fruit sweetener.
Okay.
I'll use applesauce. I'll use bananas. I'll use dates, whatever it is. I will use real food every time a type of sugar. And I look for even chocolate chips, you know, if it's, you know, the unsweetened or whatever.
The
ones with the erythritol there. Yeah, I use that in moderation. I don't like to use artificial sweeteners or even sugar alcohol. You know, all, any processed food is in moderation for sure.
Okay. So, so I'd like to go back to Lori's initial question. If I were your client and you would have me fill out a form and or a survey, I forget the word you used, but you're assessing. It's an assessment, right? So I'm answering some questions and you know, whether I have cravings, what I'm giving you sort of a diary of what I eat and my activity. What are there, like, you know, you hear people say I have the three or four pillars and, you know, these are the important things, sort of the context of what's important. Or are there pillars like that in your work when you're having someone do the survey, and what are those pillars that you're looking for?
Yeah, so I go step by step with people. So, you know, I don't expect anybody to change everything overnight, and that never works anyway. So we go step by step, and that's why I want to find out what foods that they really love, that they're not going to give up. Listen, I had some woman, you know, sit in front of me and said, I'm telling you right now, I'm not giving up chocolate and wine. I'm like, okay, we can work with that. And it turned out after a while, she kind of didn't want the chocolate as much anymore, and she moderated the wine intake, you know. So it was, but that was because she wanted to do it. You know, and it wasn't because she was giving anything up. It was just a gradual process, a natural process of feeling better and knowing what foods made her feel good and what foods didn't resonate as well with her body. And that's the key. If you can tune into that, yeah. So everything is step by step. I always say to people, so this is what I think. This is where I'd like to start. How does that sound to you? And if they say great, or if they say, hey, I'm not willing to do this, we'll find another step. And it's always step by step. And the thing about and that I'm proud of when I work with people is that years later, they still remember the tricks and techniques and tips that I told them. And most of them have been successful in keeping their weight off.
Okay. So you start off with food. So how do you deal with the others? Because I heard one is food intake, body motion, activity, and then mindset. Are those the three things that you look for?
Okay, there's five things. So it's mindset and mindfulness is one, sleep quality, movement, of course, what you're putting into your body, and the stress level, stress management. So those five things. If those five things are in place and you're managing all those five things well, you're going to be in total control of your eating habits and be able to do whatever life throws at you, be able to keep that weight off. Even if you go off a little bit, you're still not going to be struggling, and yeah, it's not going to be an issue with the weight up and down, and you keep losing the same 10 pounds over and over.
Right. So I've heard there's a relationship between stress level and eating habits. Like if people are stressed, they tend to have comfort food to relieve the stress. Is that correct?
Well, some people, when they're stressed, they don't eat. And some people, when they're stressed, they eat a lot, and they go right for the comfort foods. So being a culinary nutritionist, I'm able to say, hey, you want mac and cheese? Let's make it, and I'm going to show you how to make it healthier. So I like to help people what I call do subs and slops. on things so they can still get that same feeling of eating that comfort food, but it's going to be so much better for them.
So with the stress, do you call Lori for her to provide therapy for people, or how does that, Lori, is that where you come in here and help people?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to work with Tammy. I think that would be awesome. And I could learn something along the way as well. So,
but Lori, do you see that with people in your work, like where stress has a direct impact on the condition of their body and the foods they eat, like their overall health?
Absolutely. Well, it does. I mean, stress triggers hormones of cortisol, which also has a direct impact on weight. And then, you know, it stresses the adrenals. And Tammy was talking about the adrenals earlier, you know, and that also affects your hormones and your weight. And, of course, once you're stressed and all of that is getting affected, then you're craving your sugars and your sweet, you know, your salty things. Items, food, whatever, call it. So it's, you know, it does. It definitely impacts you. And then you're also craving comfort. And that's why you say comfort food, because you want, you know, someone or something to just calm you down and say it's going to be okay. So we go to what's the first thing that we learn to do is we learn to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And all the cultures have there's all attachment to food. Families, you know, gatherings,
right.
Holidays. It's all attached to food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, especially right when you think nationalities, right? You think the Jews or Jewish, or you think Indians, or you think Italians, right? Italians are their
right.
Sunday dinners and the macaroni, and you gotta have pasta.
Right.
Well, so I'm gonna. This is a kind of a weird question. So what about for people who see family gatherings as stressful, right? So some people, as much as they love Thanksgiving and Christmas, they know there's going to be some family drama. You know, Uncle Tony is going to get into an argument with his brother or sister or something, and, you know, then everyone's stressed. Do you help people with that? I'm asking either one of you. And you know, right, I'll just shut up there.
That would be
Tammy.
I think that would be Lori's realm. I think that would be Lori's area of expertise. But as far as like food, you know, a family means, you know, well-meaning or whatever, friends. Like, oh yeah, it's okay. Eat, but I made it. I made it, and it's your favorite, and you have to have it. Like, okay. And what you do is you take it, and then you say, oh, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. You put the plate down and you forget about the plate. So you're not offending anybody. And, you know, it's a shame to waste food or whatever. But, you know, these people aren't going to give up. They're not going to let up. And you can't let them get to you. So you really have to have a strategy to do it. And the best strategy is to not engage them into a dialogue. Just say, thank you. I appreciate that so much that you made this for me. And then, like I said, you put the plate down and say, oh, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. Let's forget about the plate. And if you wanted, you know, just like say, oh, yeah, it's really good. You just taste it and then you put it down just to say you tried it. And what'd you think? Oh, yeah, it was great. Thank you so much. But you don't have to eat it. This is, like I said, the best way of getting out of it is just not to engage, because those people are always going to keep trying to push food on you, and you're not going to win. It's a no-win situation for you. So just agree and say, okay.
Yeah, I guess that does happen. People just say, eat a little bit more. I made this especially for you. Kind of the guilt, you know, I made this just for you. You have to eat it.
Right. And then you have the people that are energy vampires, and they could, you know, they're awful to deal with. And then, you know, you want to, they get you in a corner and they're talking to you, or they call you and all you want to do is just like take a nap after, because you're so drained. You can't deal with it anymore. So I always say to those people, if they call you, if you're in the corner with them, just say the same thing. Excuse me. Oh, listen, I have to go, whatever it is. and then, you know, get into a conversation with somebody else, you know, by accident or whatever, you know, to try and avoid this person. But if they call you and, or, you know, it could be somebody you work with even that does that to you. We don't always have a choice of who these people are, and you might have to deal with them on a regular basis. So I would say try and do it on your own terms. So if you know that if they call you and say, listen, hey, I'm right in the middle of something, you know, I'll get back to you, you know, shortly. And you can, you know, feel yourself before you get on the phone with them, take a few deep breaths and just say, okay. And you're dealing with them on your terms, not on their terms. And it makes it so much better when you can do that. And it's not going to stress you out, and it's going to not make you want to reach for the nearest donut or whatever it is there. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, so from what you see, do you think people, you use the words self-care. Do you think people mm-hmm. properly engage in self-care, most people, or is that sort of a cultural problem in the U.S.?
No, it's definitely a problem. People say, oh, yeah, I do self-care, but I don't think people really understand the concept of self-care enough, because otherwise we wouldn't be as stressed out as we are. So I think, you know, if people would take the time to incorporate elements of self-care on a daily basis, whether it's, like I said, taking a break for yourself during the day for a few minutes in between your calls, making sure you're getting adequate nutrition that's going to fuel your body, not drain it. And when you get up in the morning, like, what's the first thought that comes out of your mind? Is it positive? Is it negative? How do you end your day? Is it, you know, do you watch TV and listen to the news and get all stressed out and then, you know, go to bed with all these things on your head? Or maybe you didn't finish everything you had to do for the day and you're going to sleep bad on your head also. So getting into a pattern of, you know, getting up with positive thought, going to bed and saying, hey, maybe I didn't finish everything for the day, so let me just write down a list so I know for tomorrow. So that's off your mind. And, wow, you know, maybe I want to think about what was really good in my day and maybe, you know, write some gratitude, you know, words of gratitude, like a little gratitude journal or whatever it is, and do that. And then you can go to sleep with, you know, maybe do a one of the meditation apps, you know, do a guided meditation, whatever it is. I always start your day with a meditation, which is so easy to do. You can do that by setting your timer. Set your timer for 5 minutes or do a guided meditation for a few minutes so you know that when the meditation is over, you're done. So you don't have to keep track of the time. You don't have to worry about it. You're just doing it and you're just getting into it and it's time for you. And you'd be amazed once you start incorporating these little things and they take moments out of your
right.
day. And once you start incorporating these things, it's going to make such a shift in your thinking, how you view yourself and how you're viewing the world and things will seem better. And when things seem better and you're in a better frame of mind, you're going to want to do things for yourself. You're going to want to take care of yourself. You're going to, you know, so you may, you know, make that decision and say, well, you know what? Yeah, you know, I have a craving for, you know, whatever, you know, a cookie. But there's a really good piece of dark chocolate in the, and I'm just going to have that and enjoy it. You know, I don't need to have a piece of cake right now. So whatever it is.
Right.
You're going to start to make better choices because you are taking that time for self-care and feeling better. It has to, you know, you have to make the steps to do that. And, you know, and I guess the people are not. People say, oh, yeah, you know, I take a few minutes out or, you know, I went to the gym or, you know, I went for a walk today. Well, you went for a walk and then what happened? Did you sit on your butt for 8 hours for the rest of the day? That's not healthy.
Right.
So
it's right,
like
right.
You have to think about what your day is. And schedule those things in for yourself and really make a conscious effort and a mindful effort for the self-care.
Well, let me ask you, you were talking about write down the things that you did not complete so you don't go to bed worried about them. And you also, you didn't say journal, but kind of journal some things that you're grateful for. So, do you think writing them down is better than unloading them on your spouse?
Well, you know, we tend to thinking negative comes much easier to us than thinking positive. It's just how we are. You know, it's like a
right.
negative thought will come into our head, and it's a much easier, for us to accept that than something positive. So if we start shifting that talk, that self-talk, like looking in the mirror and not liking your reflection in the mirror, just say something positive, even just giving yourself a smile, whatever it is. If you don't want to say anything positive, just smile at yourself, or, talk about your clothes, whatever it is. Oh, wow, I like my shirt that I'm wearing. My hair looks pretty good today. It doesn't have to be like,
right,
wow, I'm gorgeous. It could be the smallest little thing. If you start doing those small little things, it is going to shift how you feel about yourself. So, yeah,
okay.
Like I said, we want to – positive takes a lot more energy, a lot more thought and mindfulness, but it's totally worth it.
I was asking, so let's say the things you didn't complete, some people may go home to their spouse and say, hey, I didn't get this done and I didn't do that. Do you think it's better to write it down and then if it's appropriate, take one or two of those things from your list and maybe share it with your spouse, or does that negate their self-care if you do that?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the kind of relationship you have. Like, I didn't have a lot of support when I was going through my stuff. So I guess it depends on the kind of relationship you have with your spouse or significant other, or maybe a best friend. It could even be that you confide in. But again, when you start talking about what you didn't do and you start listing, it's a negative path. So if you write it down, say, I didn't get these things done today, but I'm gonna write it down and I'm gonna work on that tomorrow, and it's off your mind. It's like when I do meditations, like people think when you meditate, you can't have any thoughts that come into your head. Of course, thoughts. You're human. Thoughts are going to come into your head. We're not, monks sitting on a mountain somewhere with the beautiful breeze and the wilderness around us. We don't live in that world. So, of course, thoughts are going to come into our head. So it's totally okay and absolutely necessary to acknowledge those thoughts, because otherwise they're going to be like children and they're going to be like, I'm here, me, I'm here. You have to see me. You have to see me. So if you just say, okay, I acknowledge you, you're there, I know, but I'm doing this right now, and I'll get back to you later. If you kind of acknowledge it, I've also used the analogy of like a skywriter, an airplane doing the skywriting, just starting to write out that thought in the air and then watching it just, go away. So there's many ways to acknowledge a thought, but acknowledge it, let it go, it's going to be there later. The self-care is number one. But yes, if the talking about it is going to lead you on a list of saying negative things, then it's probably not a good idea. But certainly writing things down, and maybe, if you have something that you didn't do because maybe you're not sure about how to go about it and you need an opinion and you trust somebody that you're speaking with to get that opinion, awesome. So talk that out.
Okay.
But definitely talk it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so Lauren, you were going to say something.
At the end, we have six and a half minutes left. So, Tammy, if anybody is interested in your services, can you tell them how to get in touch with you and what services you can provide?
Sure. So I do corporate wellness. I do work-life balance, setting those boundaries during the day, stress management, and self-care. And then I work with, speak to women's groups as well. We talk about healthy body image. So I'm looking for that. And I work with individuals who want to make these life changes. And I can help them in the ways we were talking about earlier, about really setting their goals and figuring out how we're going to make that happen and take steps to get there. And that's usually a 3 to 6 month process, depending on what their goals are. Yeah, it's a 3 to 6 month process with me.
And how do they reach you?
Oh, okay. So I'm on Tammy Racanello. It's TammiRacanielo. They can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. My website is being redone because my company is the Wellness Unicorn, and I am changing my website around right now, so that'll be up soon. And they can call me at 631-793-1945. Or send me a text, whatever it is.
Very, very awesome. Very cool. You're still taking individual clients?
I am. Like I said, for anybody who wants, not short-term, but people who want to make lifestyle changes and they're ready for a 3 to 6 month commitment, absolutely.
Very, very cool. Tammy, I can't thank you enough for being a guest with us and sharing your knowledge and putting yourself out there. You know, I think it's so needed, especially for busy professionals and people in the corporate world, and especially now. You know, everybody's under so much stress.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you so much for having me on, Lori and Ted. I appreciate it.
Oh, pleasure.
Pleasure.
Great.
I think also since COVID, a lot of people have put on weight for being home most of the time, spending so much time indoors. There are people who, well, I live in Jersey and our gyms opened back up in September. They are still open. But I saw a few people come into the gym in September or October and they put on quite a few pounds. And, you know, these were people who, you know, they worked out often. So
working out is
affected a lot of people.
Because once you stop, you just put on weight, so you're just better off not working out at all.
Well, actually, if I don't train in the gym, I lose weight. I was 10 pounds lighter when I went back in the gym.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that was something
I
recommend weight. Because I stopped getting on the scale because when I started weight training and working out, I saw that I was actually I was a size smaller, but I was still just like the same weight. I was like, I didn't understand. And then, you know, I was like, okay, calm down. Muscle, you know, takes up less
right,
space.
Exactly.
It weighs
right.
More. It's more dense. So, yeah. So it's been fat. So I had to get used to that also. But, yeah, so it definitely is the case. But, yeah, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. So it really has to go hand in hand. You can do all the exercise in the world, but like I said, if the other things aren't in place, those things we're talking about, stress management, sleep quality, and getting to sleep is like everything. And also, you know, making sure that you're eating nutrient-dense foods most of the time, then it'll all fall into place.
Perfect. So
yeah.
Love your wealth and knowledge. Very organized, and you are a product of your own work, and that makes it even better.
Yes.
So I want to say thank you for joining us and being, as Lori said, so open and transparent. So it's been a pleasure interviewing you, and you'll have to come back and visit us again one day.
I would love that.
Perfect.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great
evening.
We'll see you next Thursday.
You got it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye.